portion there, man. Just turn to the WordPress one. This Holy Ghost power is setting me free. This Holy Ghost power is continuing on for a Bible study this evening, and maybe just for an opening scripture, the last couple of weeks we've been just reading the scripture from 2 Corinthians in the mouth of two or three witnesses, but this evening could we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. I want to just read verse 12, just for an opening text this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and the verse 12. On last week, maybe somebody said that I'd bother hearing me from time to time. So if I'm not, can anybody hear me okay at the back? I'm loud enough, and I don't want to be shouting, so I'll not be raising my voice. But we have quite a few scriptures to go through tonight, so be on the ball. Brother Matthew, your fingers will be busy, because there's a lot of scriptures we want to look at this evening, and there's quite a lot really to get through on the end. Next week I'll be the fourth part, and I'll try to like to bring it to a conclusion. But the scripture says here, just before we pray, Ecclesiastes 4 and 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. Let's just bow our heads once more for word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just ask you this evening that you'll take this word and that you'll bless it to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Distribute to us, Lord, the bread of life. Pray, Lord God, that no thoughts of my own, Lord, will be put forth this evening, only what your word says. Help us to see what you're saying to us through your word. This is your word, Lord. It's your book. And Lord, I want to say what you say. And Lord, as we said before, we want to let the Bible speak. And Lord, if it's contrary to tradition, so be it. Lord, if it's contrary to what we maybe think, so be it. But Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord God, that you will have your way and that you will be glorified. And we, Lord, we give you the preeminence in this service. And we say, Lord, let your word, Lord, take free course in our midst this evening. And let us be obedient of the word, and not only to be the hearers of it, but to be doers of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Cover me with thy blood, hide me behind the cross, and anoint me, Lord, with this subject this evening, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, we have quite a lot maybe to get through, and that's just an opening scripture, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses on kind of the theme that we've been looking at this subject, the first subject was identifying the trees in Eden, and it's not something that you're going to hear out in ordinary churches. This is not something you're going to hear everywhere you go. There's not very many people. Some of the things I've said, I've never heard anybody else saying them. I have read the Bible, and I have told it to you from the Bible, and we'll look at it perhaps in a fresh way. You know, there's sometimes the Bible says things, and we get it wrong. And one classic text that comes to mind is the text that everybody seems to think that will go in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. You know, but that's not actually what the Bible said. Didn't say we would go in a moment in the shadow or in the twinkling of an eye. It said that we would be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And there's a big difference between going and being changed, because you know that whenever the Lord rose from the dead, that he was on this earth for 40 days, and many of the Old Testament saints which arose with him were seen of many through the streets of Jerusalem. So it's sometimes we can think the Bible says something, or think something says something, and actually it says something quite different. So this evening, we want to take a fresh look. Say, we started off with identifying the trees, and we've seen that the tree was identified by its fruit. The tree of life was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, really, the Logos, the Word, because the fruit of that tree was eternal life. And we showed from the scriptures throughout the Bible that Jesus Christ is the only one who has or can impart eternal life. There's no life outside of him. He's God's provided way of eternal life. God didn't make another way of eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. Another scripture says that Jesus said, I am the door, and by me if any man shall enter, he shall go in and out and find pasture. But he said, any man that climbeth up any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. We see types throughout in the Bible how that the ark only had one door, and that if you didn't go through that door, there was no other way into that ark, only through that one door. And so is Jesus Christ. So we've seen that the tree of life was known by its fruit. The fruit was everlasting life, to live forever. And also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We concluded that that tree was the anointed cherub. We looked at him, we've seen him in Isaiah, and we've seen him in two different chapters in Ezekiel, and how he was magnificent, how he was cast down from heaven, and how the Bible said about the trees that were in Eden, and every precious stone was his covering. And also we concluded then that if a tree is known by its fruit, that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was knowledge. And actually, it's the opposite to the tree of life, because the tree of life is what it done. It brought forth life, but the knowledge only brought temporal knowledge or temporal pleasure, and then it brought death. So last week we looked at what was the actual fruit. And we seen through the scriptures, and we had a breakdown of some of the words in Genesis of what they meant. And we seen that throughout the book of Genesis, that specific third chapter, that everything was sexually related, and how that we come to the part where the serpent beguiled Eve. We also seen that the serpent was not a snake, but it was a creature which could talk and could reason, that was prudent, could plan ahead, and was crafty and subtle, and that the devil had possessed this creature, took control of it. And through that, the woman said the serpent beguiled her, and we've seen that word beguiled was to be deceived into sexual activity. So we've seen quickly just on the last part that we left off, we were talking about the curse, and that Eve at this point already had received the seed, because God was pronouncing a curse on Eve, and he said to the serpent that he would put enmity between his seed, that was the serpent's seed, and the woman's seed. Now we know that a woman doesn't actually carry a seed. If a woman carries a seed that's been implanted in her, that a woman has an egg, doesn't have a seed. So in order for her to have a seed, she must be pregnant. And she was going to bring forth children. So there's two seeds promised in the world today. And we're going to look at that this evening. And just one of the things that we asked was, why was it wrote in such a way to perhaps hide it? And we looked at a few scriptures, and we left off from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, on the verse 9 to 14, and we've seen how the sower went and sowed in the world. And tonight I want to speak about identifying the serpent's seed. So we know that the serpent has a seed because the Bible tells us that. Now, that's not my words, that's not my opinion. God said he was going to put enmity between the woman, or the serpent, and the woman, and between their seed. So God addressed the seed of the serpent. Now, seed is offspring. Seed is what a man has in its very most naked sense, perhaps, or the most bare sense, but seed is the sperm. And we'll see that later on in the scripture as well. And the reason why I read the scripture was a threefold cord is not quickly broken, because everything I want to bring tonight, every thought, I'm going to give it a word test. And if it doesn't line up with the word test, then you have to forget about it. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we'll establish the things I'm going to say. So if I put forth something maybe that seems a wee bit maybe unheard of or out of the ordinary, we have to run it through the scripture to see whether or not there's any backing up in that. So I have want to go through things in threes, because there's no point in taking one scripture of the Bible and making a doctrine out of one scripture. It has to be line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little. It has to run and dovetail throughout the whole scripture, not just in one book. We want to take a look at different books throughout the Bible that's basically saying the same thing to tie it all together. Now, in the book of Genesis, it's a very important book. On these things we're saying this evening, let me just make this clear, that this is not a salvation issue. It's a doctrine that we believe, and I believe that if you see this, it'll open up the scriptures to you. And my goal at the end, as we'll come to the next part next week at the last, is that it will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll make his glory the better. It makes you perhaps feel that you're less worthy than you were, because we're depraved, we're sinners, and there's none of us any good. And what it'll do is it'll magnify God's goodness toward us. And that's the whole purpose of it. It's not to be smarter than somebody else. It's not to boast or to be proud. If we become boastful and proud about knowing something or to be something over somebody else, then we become like the devil himself. He was the boy of pride. So it's not a salvation issue. If people don't see this, well, that's all right. There's no harm done. But I believe this is biblical truth, and it does take revelation to see it. And let's continue on with our subject tonight. So we're speaking about identifying the serpent's seed. Now, if you want to go to identify anything like we did in the trees, you have to start in the book of Genesis. Genesis is a seed book. Genesis actually means beginnings. So if you want to know how things started out, you have to go back to the beginning. It's a very good place to start, is the beginning. And Genesis 3, I want to read. And if you've got your Bibles, please read with me. And Matthew will put the scriptures on the wall as I call them out, because there is quite a few scriptures this evening. And I don't necessarily want to spend an awful lot of time on the verses, because there's just so much to confirm the things I'll be saying this evening. And I want you to see that it's not my idea, it's not me that's speaking, but we're going to let the Bible speak. And that's why I want to read the scriptures. We're going to let the Bible do the teaching this evening, praise God. Genesis 3:15, let us just read it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So that was God speaking to the serpent when he was coming to place judgment. And now you see that God is telling the serpent that he's going to put enmity, and we've seen that word enmity basically means friction or contention and hatred between the seeds. So there's going to be two seeds in the world. There's going to be the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And the seed of the serpent is going to persecute the seed of the woman. Eventually, now Eve doesn't know this at this point, but eventually the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, but he would bruise his heel in doing so. And that was basically fulfilled on Calvary. But say Eve doesn't necessarily know it at the minute, but she doesn't know how long it'll be till this seed comes. For all she knows, that the children will be the fulfillment of this actual prophecy. So we see without a shadow of doubt, the serpent has a seed, the serpent has children. And what we want to do tonight is identify them. Now, a lot of people, maybe when they read this scripture and you point it out to them, and I have believed this for a very long time, and I've spoke to many people about it, and most people just think you're crazy. They don't want to hear it. And they think this is just a spiritual type. But the natural types of spiritual. And next week, when we come to the last part, we want to take a wee look perhaps at Jesus and his converse with Nicodemus, how that he said that except you're born in the water and of blood, and then he talks about being born in the spirit. So you have to be born naturally before you can be born spiritually. That's the way the thing is. Now, Adam, if you read in the book of Genesis, the Bible said that God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a quickening spirit or a living soul. And first of all, God made a spirit man, he made him on his own image, and then he had a body. But now we seem to have, first of all, we're born in a natural body, but then after that, then we need a spiritual birth. So we'll look at that next week. That's for next week, that's not for this week. But the two seeds were sown in the beginning. I want to take a look at Matthew's Gospel here, and this is a very important text in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, because this is going to be but let me just read this here, Matthew chapter 13 and the verse 24. And just bear with me this evening because it is quite a lot to get through. And I want to make this in such a way that it's not going over anybody's head, that you understand the things that I'm saying and the things that the Bible is saying as well. More importantly, praise God. Matthew 13 verse 24. And let me read down a few verses. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, we often hear a saying in the world about young men when they live their sinful lives, that they go out and they sow their wild oats. And most people think that's a fun expression. It's a terrible thing. What that saying actually means is to go out on whoremonger. That's what it means. To sow your wild oats is to go out and fornicate. So it's not a good thing. We never want to encourage our young people to commit fornication. But this is what the devil done. He sowed his seed. And this is what the Bible says. And we'll come to it because I could say some things here, but very... we're blessed because Jesus actually tells us plainly the interpretation of this scripture. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there then appeared also the tares also. So these two were sown together. So the one came up, the other came up with it. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. So we see Jesus is teaching a parable that there is tares among the wheat. Now you have to ask yourself the question, how did the tares get there? How come there's tares growing with the wheat? The same type of life, because it takes the same sun to quicken or to bring life, to germinate the seed. And both the seeds grow up and they're Book of Hebrews tells us about the same rain that comes on the earth waters the weeds as long as the wheat, and as the sun and both grew up together and both raised their hands as it were and the rejoice when the rain comes and when the sun comes, both of them grew up together. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Well, if I was to ask you this evening, who is the enemy? Who's enemy number one? Anybody like to tell me who enemy number one is? Satan, the devil. He's the enemy, right? He's the enemy of your soul. And Jesus said, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. So we see that this boy, the enemy has sowed his seed, and his seed is tares, and the good man's seed was wheat. But verse 30 says, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reaper. So the both of these seeds grew up together. The both of them's on the earth at the same time. And not to be jumping the gun, but be patient with me. The both of these, Cain and Abel, both grew up at the same time. Now remember that one of them was righteous and one of them was wicked. And one of them was a tare and one of them was a wheat. And we've seen that the enemy sowed his seed because he had a seed. We've seen that God sowed his seed in the beginning, and the enemy sowed his seed also. Verse 36 of the same chapter. Let us read down. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So here in this verse, the next verse coming off, Jesus is going to clearly identify who the tares are. And listen, it's because it's quite good, praise God. Verse 38, verse 36, and we're going to read down 38. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. How did he get his children into the world? How did his children come? Because he sowed seed in the beginning. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. So you see, the devil has a seed in the world today. And that seed was sown vicariously through the serpent. Now let me just break that down just a little bit. It's identification. There's three things, okay? We're going to do threefold cord. One, the field is the world. Two, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Three, the tares are the children of the wicked one. This is the first of our three witnesses or foals. That old serpent, the devil, according to Revelation 12, verse 9, that old serpent, the devil, had children. And four, were pressed down and running over, shaken together, it was the devil who sowed them. You see, Jesus identifies that the devil is the one who sowed the tares among the wheat. Now we know that he has children in the world, because who's the tares? The Bible says the tares. Let me read it again. He answered and said unto him, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So the devil has children. Now some people might think, we're all children of the devil. Yes, really, we are children of the devil. We're all children. Everybody in here this evening, before you're born again, we were children of the devil. And we'll come to that next week. But we see here that they had to get here. How did they get here? Well, we've seen last week in Genesis that serpent, he beguiled the woman into sexual activity. And remember, the serpent wasn't a snake. It was a creature that could talk. He's not around today because God cursed him and changed his form. And the woman was pregnant with two seeds. And one seed was going to hit, the serpent seed was going to hit and cause friction against the seed of the woman. So verse 39 says, the enemy that sowed them was the devil. So we know that he was the one who sowed the tares among the wheat. He's responsible. Praise God. That's one of our first three folds. Our one fold, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 23. Again, these scriptures are very plain. And I'm going to read from verse 27 down to 33. So this is going to be our second fold, that the devil had children. And we're going to read from 27 down to 33. Now Jesus is talking here to the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. And listen to his concourse with them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And just want to point out there, though that somebody may appear to be beautiful, and the devil does appear to be beautiful. Remember, he was the anointed cherub. The devil was beautiful. But it's what's inside. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Now, who's the author of killing? It's the devil. So Jesus isn't mixing his words or mincing his words up here. It says 32, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. In other words, Jesus is about to give them their pedigree. You ever get a bad dog or something that has got a pedigree? Well, Jesus has given these Pharisees their pedigree, and he says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? What does Jesus do? He appoints onto them, gives them their pedigree, that they are the children of the same people that killed the prophets. And then he calls them serpents. Now, who was the serpent in the beginning? Well, said the scripture in Revelation, that old serpent, the devil. He was a tool in the devil's hand. He was what the devil used to sow his seed. And Jesus here calls them serpents, a generation of vipers. In other words, like a bunch of snakes. We often say to people that a bunch of snakes in the grass. But, you know, Jesus is pointing this out very, very boldly. And it's not a coincidence that he would call them serpents, because he knows who their father is. For our third witness, our third fold, we're going to turn to John's Gospel chapter 8 and the verse 37. John's Gospel chapter 8 and the verse 37. It's good to have a threefold cord. You can't just preach these things from run scripture. We want to run it through the Bible. John chapter 8, verse 37. Now Jesus again is talking to the religious leaders, and they hate him. And the worst, because they've got a spirit, and it's a religious spirit, and those are the type of worst spirits really to encounter and deal with, is a religious spirit. And verse 37, let us just take it from here. I don't want to go too far back, because we've got an awful lot of scriptures to go through here. Verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Now again, that word seed, what does that mean? It means that they're the children of Abraham, the descend from Abraham. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. And again, we look at this next week. You know, you couldn't really say today that somebody's circumcised and somebody's not, because everything has been mixed through, and we'll look at that where that happened as well. But these men here, though they claim to be naturally of the descendants of Abraham, but Jesus said, you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Therefore, what Jesus is saying, you have nothing in common with me. You're not the same as me. He says, Jesus makes it clear in the verse 38. Let's just read verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now Jesus makes it clear here in this verse in particular that there are two fathers. Go back to Genesis 3 and verse 20, and we could read about that there, because the verse says of Eve was the mother of all living. But it didn't ever say nothing about Adam being the father of all living. And what significance would it mean for Eve to be the mother of all living if Adam was the father of all living? Mark, if you've got your Bible, does it say, could you read the preposition of that in John's Gospel chapter, or sorry, Genesis 3 verse 20. Genesis 3 verse 20. Eve said, he called her Eve because she's the mother of all living. There you go, a mother of every father's family. Jesus here is pointing out that there's two fathers. Verse 38, I'm going to read again. I speak that which I have seen with my father, that is God, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Who was their father? The devil. Now how did he get his children? He has children in the world today because there's two fathers, and there's two seeds. There's the seed of the woman, and there's a seed of the serpent. Now, let me read on verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Jesus shows that though naturally they are the descendants from Abraham, yet they are not the children of Abraham, because Romans 4 and 1 verse 5 tells us that Abraham is the father of the faithful. And that's how we can become, we're children of Abraham, by faith. And that's what it was. You see, whenever Abraham had Isaac, Isaac was a seed of promise. He wasn't the seed of what the flesh could do, but he was supernaturally provided and given to them because it was God's promise. But Abraham is the father of the faithful. But these were not faithful, these were faithless. Jesus said, my word has no part in you. So therefore, if there was no word of God in them, they were faithless, because they had a different father. They had two natures in one body. Now, we'll take a look at that next week. Verse 40, let me read verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. You see, they wanted to kill. And Jesus said because they wanted to kill him, that they were doing the deeds of their father. Now the Bible says, and we'll look at it later on, we'll come to it, but that he was a murderer from the beginning. So he was a murderer, and they wanted to kill him because they wanted to fulfill the deeds of their father. In verse 41, in plain speech, Jesus boldly tells them that they are the children of the devil. They're the serpent's seed. Hence their response. Listen to the response. He says, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto them, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And many people take that verse that they're getting at Jesus because of Jesus' background, but perhaps these people didn't even know. But in the context of what Jesus is saying and the accusations that Jesus is making of their father, he said that your father is not my father. And he's claiming his father is God, so their father is not God. And their response is, we're not born in fornication. So these men are under no illusion whatsoever what Jesus is talking about, because they're referring back to the fornication in the Garden of Eden when the serpent beguiled Eve. That was the response of fornication, the serpent and Eve. And yet, with all, they claimed that God was their father. But God was not their father, because Jesus said that he was not their father. Because Jesus said, if he were your father, then my word would have placed in you, but it didn't. Verse 42, and Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. You see, a tree is known by its fruit. And that's what we were talking about, all them identifying, going right back to the start, the basics of it all, that a tree is known by its fruit. And their fruit was to kill. Their works was to kill. And what? To kill what? The truth. It was against the truth. Because Jesus spoke the truth, they sought to kill him. And that's what the devil always does. He seeks to stomp out the light. He wants to put the light out. When you see it, when Moses was born, he tried to kill Moses. When Jesus himself was born, he tried to have Jesus killed. When Athaliah came to the throne in Judah, she killed all the male children, for she wanted to do away with this promised seed, the line of Judah, because it was the tribe of Judah whom this promised seed would come through. So Satan's always trying to put out the light. And Jesus identifies him and calls him out. And he said that if God were your father, ye would know me. But they didn't know him because they were from a different tree. They weren't from the tree of life. These boys were from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. When was he a murderer from? The beginning. Where does the beginning? What does beginning mean? Genesis. Takes us right back to Genesis. Now this is God's word this evening. I'm not making it up. I'm reading the scriptures. They're up here in front of us. This is what Jesus is saying. He says that your father was a murderer from the beginning. Who was the first one to commit a murder? Cain. Cain was the first one to murder. And abode not in the truth. He walked out from truth. You see, God put before Cain an ultimatum. And he could have abode in the truth. And God said, but if you don't deal with the truth, if you don't stand the truth, behold, sin lieth at the door. Or some, the preposition of some text say that, behold, sin crouches like a lion, ready to pounce on you. And that's what happened, and he became the servant of sin. Jesus said in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. That's why they had no place for the truth whenever Jesus was speaking to them. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Could not handle the truth of Genesis chapter 4, 7 and 11. Let me just turn to that quickly. Genesis 4, 7 to 11. It says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now, there we go, we have the first murder. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And we just leave that for a little moment. But you see, of his own, that he was the father of it. Now, the third full witness, I want to turn to the Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John on chapter 3. And this is one scripture that everybody will know quite well. The Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 12. Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 12. And this is what it says. This is what John says. And this is John pointing out, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now, who did Jesus say the wicked one was? Anybody remember? Who did Jesus say the wicked one was? It was the devil. Jesus identified the wicked one as being the devil. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Or why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You see, John plainly identifies here in this epistle that the very first person born, remember Cain was the first man born, the very first man born was of the wicked one. But Abel was the opposite. One was wicked and one was righteous. Now how does that be? Cain is the firstborn. He's the first murderer. He's the first liar. As a man, Satan told the lie at the start, and he speaketh of his own. So he's the first that fulfilled then, or the prophecy, or it commences the prophecy of the enmity between the seeds. Because he rose up and he tried to snuff out the light. He tried to put out the light. Tried to kill him. Now there's not a shadow of a doubt that there's two seeds here. We've seen there's two fathers and there's two seeds in several scriptures. And there's also two meanings to it. There's both natural and spiritual. John told us the first man was of the wicked one, the devil. His seed was sown for curiosity by the serpent in the beginning. And we've seen that's where it was sown. It was sown in the beginning. And we've seen through the parables that Jesus identified that as well. Now let's give that thought the word test. I want to go for a threefold cord again. We've identified there in three different scriptures that there's two seeds, and that Satan's seed was sown in the beginning. And we want to take a look at Genesis chapter 4 now. See, I'm just taking my time because I want these things to not to go over anybody's head. Genesis 4 verse 1. Now this verse is a verse that puts the blinkers on a lot of people, because they read this here and right away they say, oh no, that's it. No matter about all the other scriptures, but now we've showed from the first week until now, we've showed quite a lot of scriptures. And if there's one scripture maybe to challenge that, because they never thought of those other scriptures, this is the scripture they know and this is what they think. Let us look at this. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And that word knew comes from the same word knowledge that we read about of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the knowledge that Eve received, and it is yada, and it means sexual contact and sexual relation. In fact, the whole previous chapter in one of the Bibles I have at home in the study notes, it actually mentions that this was a connecting link to the whole previous chapter, and that was to do with yada, the knowledge of sexual knowledge. Now, it says here that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. Now look at this carefully. She conceived once and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Now, she bare twice. Now I want you to notice that there. She conceived once, but bare twice. Adam knew his wife once, but bare two sons. Sorry, she bare two sons, but conceived once from Adam. And I want to just take a wee look at that there, because that's very important to establish that. Now remember, we're reading the Bible here, there's verse 2, and it maybe seems that there's a separation here. These boys were twins. There was one, Adam knew his wife once, but she bare two sons. She bare Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And people look and say, no, look, this here man come from the Lord. But we're going to see, already we know that Eve was deceived. We know Eve was deceived. We looked at that there, and the Bible said that Adam wasn't in the transgression, but the woman being deceived. The woman was deceived. Adam was not deceived. And here she saying now that she has gotten a man from the Lord. Now let me just try and break that down a wee bit, if we can. There's two sons here. When Eve bare Cain, she said, I have gotten a man of the Lord. Now what Cain actually means, or what she could say, is I have acquired a man of the Lord. And that's what Cain means. Cain's name means acquired. I have acquired a man of the Lord. I've gotten a man of the Lord. There's some prepositions and some of the margins you'll read, and it'll be a couple of different breakdowns of it, and some of it will say, I have acquired a man with the help of Yahweh, or I have gotten a man, the Lord. Or Yahweh have formed the first man, and I have formed the second. Now, as I said, regardless of the preposition of the text, Eve is deceived again. Now listen, how do we know she's deceived? I want you to listen carefully, because when Abel is born, Abel's name means vanity. It means literally breath or nothing at all. It means nothing, just like it's like a waste of breath. Now she calls Cain acquired of the Lord. A man who she's been to help with Jehovah, she has acquired this man with the help of God. And when Abel's born, she literally calls him nothing, breath or vanity. Why would you do that? Why would you call your child vanity, or literally like nothing, that you have no value? Is she kidding herself? The name she calls these sons shows she is believing in the Lord's prophecy to bring forth a seed to crush the serpent's seed. And she's the only one carrying the seeds. There's only one seed bed, there's one woman, but there was two seeds. But the seed bed was carrying two seeds. Which of the two sons, going by the names she has called them, do you think she believes to be the promised seed? I said she was deceived. She's expecting the fulfillment of the prophecy. She's expecting the seed of the woman that will come forth to bruise or crush the head of the serpent. And that's why she says, of Cain, I have acquired a man of the Lord. But Abel, she thinks he's the serpent's seed. And she says, he's vanity. He's nothing. That's what Abel means, vanity. It means literally nothing. That's what it means, or breath. Obviously, whenever she's thinking about, she's obviously thinking Cain is the promised seed, but she got it wrong. John said it the other way around. He said Cain was off the wicked one. Why? Because he could look at the fruits. He's looking in the past tense, and he could see at this point neither child has done anything right or wrong, but John, looking back in the past, he can see the fruits of the tree, and he can identify that Cain was the one of the wicked one. Verse 3, let's read the verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering. Now, first thing I want to just take a look at is verse 3 and a part of 4 there, that Cain was also a worshipper. These two boys were both worshippers. So just keep a wee eye on the time there, because I don't want to keep this too long. But both of these boys were both worshippers. But we see that Cain is the first person to introduce a works program. Abel is relying on grace. Verse 5, it says that, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He takes a sulk. He couldn't handle being rejected. He couldn't handle that he was the man who was called a waste of breath or vanity was accepted and he wasn't. Well, and don't forget, he's the acquired son. He's special. And he was rejected. And what a shock it must have been to Cain, because he's believed all his life. His name means acquired. And the other boy is vanity, a waste of time. And he's believed all his life that he's something special. But verse 6 and 7 says that, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And we see that God's grace, even towards Cain, even towards the serpent seed, we see that God's grace here is reached out on his mercy. And not only is the option of God's grace on his mercy reached out, but also the consequences of rejecting and refusing God's way. Verse 8, it says that, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So Cain kills Abel, showing that he is evil. Confirming what John said in the epistle of John, and also in the gospel of John, and he fulfills the deeds of his father. Now remember, This enemy's wanting to always overthrow God. He's always wanting to put out the light. And here is the seed of the woman. Abel is that seed from whom that line would come from. And what does the devil do with it? He kills it. He killed it. Satan was trying to destroy the seed promised to destroy him. And that was the motive for the crime. That's why he killed him. He wanted to overthrow God. He wanted to overthrow him. But Cain was just a chip off the old block. How many have heard that saying? A chip off the old block. Well, whenever you're splitting wood, sometimes there's chips flies up. And a chip off the block or a bit off the wood, it came off the block. And that's what Cain was. He was a chip off the old block. And we see in part one of the Satan or Lucifer's pride, he could not humble himself to be number two. So he tried the same tactics to overthrow God. And he couldn't humble himself to be number two here either. He couldn't be in submission. So he tried to stomp out the light. And that's why he killed Abel. Verse 9. I want to go through a couple of these things. Let me read it quickly here. Verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? First thing we see in verse 9 that he says, I know not. That's a lie. And remember, who's the father of lies? Am I my brother's keeper? And we see from that statement the arrogance and pride and not non-repentant. Well, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Because when we read the scriptures in Isaiah and Ezekiel, we've seen it was pride that got him kicked out of heaven. We've seen that it was pride that he lifted him up and caused him to rebel against God. It was pride. So whenever Cain, we see the Cain, we see the attributes of Satan and Cain right here, defying God, a holy God. I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Who would have the audacity to speak to God in such a way? And that's why I say the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Verse 21 and verse 22, it points out that Cain's children had knowledge and craft. We see in them verses Jubal, and he was in charge or invented musical instruments. We've seen in Ezekiel 28 and 13 that in Lucifer, the anointed cherub, was timbrels and pipes, and also of out of every artifact and brass and iron and things that got Jubal Cain. And we could see there in like this line of Cain, they were like father, like son. Verse 25. Let us read verse 25. It's a very important verse. And Adam knew his wife again. Now this is the second time that Adam has knew his wife, it says. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. Now Seth actually means appointed. Again, these names, when you read it, we read about Cain or on his name as acquired. And Seth means appointed. Eve realized that Cain was not the man of the Lord whom she thought he was. And because the wicked Cain destroyed the promised seed, God appoints another seed to take its place. Notice she did not say more seed or seed was added to her. And the seed could never come from Cain. The promised seed could not come from Cain because he was off his father the devil. Couldn't come, he was off the wicked one, he was off the serpent seed. And the serpent couldn't ever redeem anything. He was a fallen creature. Now, verse 26, I want to take a look at this. And Seth, unto Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called upon his name, or he called his name Enos, and began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Notice, while Satan was building his empire, Adam's sons were doing what sons of God do. They were calling on the name of the Lord. You see the difference in these two families? They are as different as night and day. There are no similarities. There is no similarities as far as their actions go. Physically, yes, there could be similarities, but as far as their actions go and their fruits go, one's as different as day is from night. Adam's sons were calling on the name of the Lord while these other men were out building an empire. Genesis 5, verse 3. Let us read it. Genesis, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. That's very striking. Why would the scriptures tell us that Seth was in Adam's own likeness and his own image? Because there wasn't a son, there wasn't a man on the earth in Adam's image at that time. There wasn't a man in Adam's likeness. Cain wasn't like Adam. And we'll come to that very shortly. I'm coming to a close shortly. We've got to hear near finished. But Cain was not like Adam. But Seth was. Now listen, I want to read that again because it's very important. Genesis 5, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Isn't that remarkable? So what am I saying? I'm saying very plainly that Cain was the son of the serpent and Abel was the son of Adam. Now let's give that the word test. Quickly now, as we come to the close, I'm not going to keep you very long, but let's turn to the book of Jude and we'll go through it. We'll give it a threefold test. We'll give it a test in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And remember that the scripture says that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now you would have a job pointing out, I can tell you now, you would have a job pointing out that Cain was Adam's son. You'd have a job doing it. Now, Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Now, I'm just going to put that there because the scripture tells us that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. So we're going to give that the word test. We're going to give it the threefold test. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. And if it's established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we should be fit to say amen to it, praise God. Now, Genesis 5 on the verse 3. Okay. On Adam, number 1. Now, seven, now we're looking for 7. Don't forget, Adam. 7 from Adam. Number 1, Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Number 2. Verse 3. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. Number 3. Verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. Number 4. Verse 12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahali. Number 5. Verse 15. And Mahali lived 65 years and begot Jared. Number 6. And verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. Number 7. That's 7. Now if you put Cain in there, you're going to get 8. There's no room for Cain in Adam's genealogy because Enoch was a seventh from Adam. Now, Abel's not in there because he was killed. He never had no offspring. He was killed. He was wiped out. He was done away. He was snuffed out. Now, there's 7. If you put Cain in there, number 8. Let's look at another scripture. First book of Chronicles. Turn with me to the first book of Chronicles. And if these are good scriptures to know and to have, maybe you're underlining them or taking notes. If you don't, it'll be recorded and you can go through these things again, but this is going to be the second fold of a threefold cord. The book of Chronicles, the first book of the Chronicles, on chapter 1, Adam number 1, Sheth number 2, Enos number 3, Canaan number 4, Mahli number 5, Jared number 6, and Henoch, which is Enoch, number 7. So there's in the first book of Chronicles. If you put Cain in there, notice Cain's not here. Did the writers make a mistake? Did they forget about Cain? 2 books, 2 genealogies, and Cain's not in them. Why is that? Because Cain's not Adam's son. Turn to the Gospel of Luke on the chapter 3. And we'll come soon to an end. Don't worry, I won't be keeping this too much longer, but I trust this is some sort of a blessing. It's a Bible study. And to verse 37. We're going to come back with this time, Luke chapter 3, verse 37, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, number 1, which was the son of Jared, number 2, which was the son of Mahlil, number 3, which was the son of Canaan, number 4, which was the son of Enos, number 5, which was the son of Seth, is number 6, which was the son of Adam, number 7. Now look what the last of this verse says, which was the son of God. Now, we have looked at 3 scriptures there, 3 genealogies, and it's no mistake that Cain's not in them. Because we're looking at Adam's genealogy. And all these 3 genealogies are exactly the same. Because they're a true account. Let all things be established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, because this is a true account. It's not my account. My account wouldn't count for nothing. But it's the Bible's account, it's God's account. Cain's not there, because he wasn't Adam's son. And furthermore, Adam was the son of God. That's what the scriptures say. So we were his sons. Now, John said that Cain was of the wicked one. So if you're saying that Cain was Adam's son, then you're saying that Adam was a wicked one. You're actually identifying Adam as being wicked. I wouldn't want to do that, because the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The scriptures tell us that Adam was a son of God. And it tells us that Cain was off the wicked one. And if you try to say that Cain was Adam's son, then you're saying that Cain's the wicked one. Now remember, there physically had to be a seed sown. There had to be first a natural, the type of spiritual. There was definitely two seeds in the world. There was two races of children. There was one who persecuted the promised seed, even as Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Now, I've showed many scriptures here, threefold cords, not quickly broken, all throughout this whole Bible study tonight, but Adam cannot be identified as the wicked one. Now, I want to just finish with something that I had one time shared with the person, the question raised, and said, no, the only reason that Cain's not in there was because he was wicked. You could see that Abel wouldn't be there because he had no children, he had no offspring, he was killed. But you know, that's not actually scriptural to think like that, because even wicked sons are included in genealogies. And I want to take quickly a look in Genesis 38, verse 7 to 10, just to show that wouldn't actually stand up. That wouldn't be a plausible argument to think that Cain's not there because he did sin. That's not the reason why Cain isn't there, because when we look at Genesis chapter 38, verse 3, and I'm going to read down a few verses, and she conceived and bare a son and called his name Ur, and she conceived again and bare a son and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah, and so forth down to verse 7. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord and slew him. Now this is the genealogies of the tribe of Judah. This is Judah's genealogy. It said in verse 9, and Onan knew, or sorry, let me just read verse 8. The Lord slew the firstborn Ur because he was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give his seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. So these two men, if you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 3, I'm not going to turn to it here, but seeing but 1 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 3, you'll see that those both wicked men are included in Judah's genealogy. Even though God killed them because of their wickedness, the one man had the sons and the other man, he didn't. And he sent in another son to go and raise up seed. And the Bible says that he spilled it on the ground. So let's not be thinking that the seed's something else. When God said he was going to put enmity between the serpent seed and the seed of the woman, it was children he was talking about. So we see there that's not a plausible argument to say that Cain wasn't there. Cain wasn't there because simply he was not Adam's son. Now I would say to anybody listening to this here, show me one scripture that says Cain is Adam's son. Now I've showed you plenty of scriptures that omits. And I've actually showed you scripture that said that whose father was. But yet with all, people have found it very difficult to come to terms that Cain was actually literally off the wicked one, the serpent, the devil. But you can't do that. If you're going to say that Cain is Adam's son, you make God a liar. Because Adam doesn't have two fathers. If Adam had two fathers, he would be illegitimate. You can't have two fathers. You only have one father. And Jesus spoke, we've seen in the discourse there, in the Gospels, how that he said to them, Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. And he said that he was of his father. And they couldn't hear what his father was saying to them because his word had no place in them. So you see, these things maybe are very strange to some people. But I've just said what the Bible says. And I believe it. And you may think to yourself, well, what is that? Where does that leave people? Well, we'll see next week when we come to the close. And what the whole purpose of this is really we want to speak about being born again. Because you see, your first natural birth will never get you to heaven. It'll take a new birth. It's going to take a new birth. I don't want to say too much about that there, because that's what we're going to speak about the next time. It's going to take a new birth. The sons of God cannot be born through carnal means. Now, you're going to be born carnally first, and by being born carnally, it puts us all under the bracket of the serpent seed. We're going to look where the seeds mixed, and that everybody was defiled. There's not a pure man on the earth. There's not a man that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none that doeth good and seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. So it's not something that we're trying to put forth and say there's a group of people here and there, the serpent seed, and there's a group of people over here, and they're not. As far as physical goes, we're all the children of the devil because we come through sin. We're all born with original sin. So we're all the children of the devil until we're redeemed and bought back. And that's where we're going to look at the spiritual aspect of it then, how that God knows his seed. Even if you take Israel today, it'd be hard to very hard to say that Israel's a pure nation because they went all throughout the world and they mixed and their marriages mixed. And you couldn't say that this person really belongs to the tribe of Judah or Benjamin or Issachar or anything like that or Joseph. But God knows spiritually who the seed is. And it's a spiritual seed. It's nothing to do physically. Don't be thinking that I'm preaching something that's physical to separate people. That's not what it's to do. It's just we're all born in sin. We're all shaped in iniquity. We've all that in common. Each and every one of us, we're all sinners. And it's going to take the promised seed of the woman who was undefiled and who wasn't born in sin. I want to talk about the virgin birth and then why was it so important that Jesus was born of a virgin? No original sin. Praise God. So this just come to a close. Praise God. I know I've kept you maybe too long this evening. But I say it's just maybe it's a bit different than what we usually do. We have well, normally we'd have a bit more time and next week we'll be right up and then we might be back to normal. But that's just for 5 minutes, just maybe if anybody would like to pray, and then we'll close and we'll go home. It's just going on 8:45 and we'll go out for 9:00. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we just leave this word with you this evening. Lord, perhaps some of these things is hard to be understood, and religious spirits certainly hate the truth, Lord, because there's no word, no place in them for truth. But Lord, I pray, Lord, for your children, that you will grant them the eyes of, Lord, and the revelation and discernment, Lord, to know the truth of your word and to accept it and just to say what your word says and to believe it, Lord, and to give you glory, honour and praise. Lord, of our own selves we can do nothing. We are nothing. We say, Lord, of a truth, Lord, that, Lord, we were wretched and vile. But we thank you, Lord, that the scripture says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's what we were, Lord. We were ungodly. We were unholy. There was nothing good in us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your love and your grace. Even, Lord, as you approached Cain, after he had refused to offer correctly, or he hadn't the revelation of it, Lord. But, Lord, you said, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted. Lord, you were willing, Lord, you reached out to him. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, that you also reached down your hand and loved us when you sent your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die for our sins, Lord, and to pardon us from all our transgressions and our iniquities. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the power and the blood that washes us white as snow, that makes us now sons and daughters of God, not sons of the enemy, not sons of the wicked one, but, Lord, sons and daughters of God, born of a new spirit, Lord, born of an incorruptible seed, not a corruptible one, Lord, as we have inherited from our parents, but, Lord, we have been born of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. So, Lord, we bless your name. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.